Joseph Gagnon, Senior Fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, is here with me, Steve Wiseman, in another conversation that we've been having with various specialists here about the phenomenon of the appreciation of the Chinese currency and also the decline, however temporary, in China's current account surplus. Joe, first of all, the trend has been in the right direction. Explain a little bit of that to me.
Well, China's current account surplus, which is basically a broad measure of their trade surplus, has come down. It's below 3% of their GDP last year, and the first quarter this year seems on track to probably roughly repeat that this year. So that's a big improvement, maybe not 100% of where we want to be, but a big improvement from it was almost 10% a few years ago. So and they've allowed their currency, the renminbi, to appreciate roughly 30% over the past 7 or 8 years. So and that probably had a big role in this improvement. But another thing that probably is temporary is just that the U.S., Europe, Japan, their big customers for Chinese exports have been very weak. Our economies have been very weak. And there is a question as to how much China's trade surplus would jump up again if U.S., Europe, and Japan had a strong recovery.
I think the suggestion is that it almost inevitably will.
Yes, it's a question of how much. You know, how much of this improvement is because the renminbi is appreciated and how much of it is because the U.S. and Europe is weak. The latter is temporary. The former is permanent.
So China has improved. It has a ways to go. They should still be subjected to some scrutiny and even criticism?
Some. I think they should get some acknowledgement of some significant progress. But nevertheless, I don't think it's time to let our guard down.
Now, it's often been said that China is kind of the alpha wolf and that many other countries have patterned their own currency policies after China. How much should we be concerned about that?
I think we should be very concerned because I think that even if the Chinese realize that this is a strategy that they can't continue as much as they have and need to gradually get away from, I think they understand that and believe that, even if they're not moving quite as fast as we would like. They have moved, and I think they understand it. But a lot of other countries see, you know, that it has worked for China, and they kind of want to start doing it more themselves. So even if China is getting out of this and maybe have a smaller current account surplus in the future, a lot of other emerging markets, really widespread around the world, are actually doing it more and more. They are trying to hold their currencies down to get a big current account surplus, trade surplus, by exporting to the rest of the world. Everyone wants to grow by having more exports, and we can't all do that.
Well, even including the United States.
Well, yes. I mean,
although we aren't perhaps manipulating our currency, but
yes,
we are accused of that sometimes.
Well, we're accused of, yes, currency wars. But anyway, as I've said in the past, I think we're the aggrieved party, the injured party in that war.
Well, it's not just countries in Asia, I think you've said, that are following the China pattern.
No, that's right. It's in Latin America, widespread. If you a little bit in Africa and Eastern Europe, but also the Middle East. A lot of commodity exporters are doing it, too, for somewhat different reasons, but it's related. They're saving high commodity prices are giving them windfall profits in exports, and they're saving that money in the United States, which only perpetuates their surplus instead of if they spent it on imports or, you know, development in their own countries. That would be an alternative strategy, but they're not doing it.
What can the United States do about this?
Well, I think it's even though it's widespread and diffuse around the world, so it's hard to fight, China being the obvious example, but they're sort of doing less, so it's hard to pick on them as much anymore. Yet it accumulates up to a big amount for the U.S., and I think it's tough. I mean, ultimately, the United States could consider doing what many other emerging markets are doing, is putting controls on capital or even taxing capital inflows to try to discourage them. I mean, ultimately, this is the way these countries do it, is rather than buy our exports, they buy our bonds. Well, if we tax their purchases of our bonds, maybe that would encourage them to buy our exports. But, you know, how much of that we can do, and it's difficult to say, and it goes counter to decades of U.S. policy, which was to encourage open capital markets and low taxes.
Right. And with the annual meetings of the IMF and the World Bank, is this a big issue as it has been in the past? It seems to have kind of been sidelined a little bit.
It's not the hottest topic right now because the imbalances aren't as big as they were a few years ago. They're not going in the right direction, but at least they're not widening, so they're not getting worse. They're sort of holding in a holding pattern. And I think other topics have just grabbed people's attention, mostly Europe.
Right.
But somewhat a slowdown in China and some emerging markets is also for domestic reasons is also an issue. You know, is China going to have a property housing bubble burst or something?
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.